This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we hear about Kalamazoo's experience with a deadly flu epidemic 99 years ago. But first, I sit down with gubernatorial candidate Gretchen Whitmer. The Democrat served a total of 14 years in the State House and Senate. Whitmer came by our studios last week during a visit to Southwest Michigan. Thank you very much for being with us.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Tell us, why did you decide now? Because your name has come up before as someone who could run for governor. Why is 2018 the time that you decided you wanted to get into this race and try to become the next governor of Michigan?
Well, I love Michigan, and I'm looking around at the state that my kids are growing up in, and it hardly resembles the one that I think of when I talk about my Michigan pride. You know, there was a point in time where people moved to this state for opportunity, for great jobs, where you were paid enough, you could actually afford to buy the car you were making and raise your family up and retire with dignity here. And right now, there are a lot of Michiganders who are having trouble making ends meet. They're doing jobs that they haven't gotten a pay raise in 10 years, or they're doing a couple of minimum wage paying jobs and can't get by. At one point, there was a time where the Michigan public education system was the finest on the planet. And right now, our fourth graders rank 41st in our country for literacy. You know, I think we deserve better, and I know that we can do better. And I think it's been a while since Michiganders have had someone in their corner. And I know that when we work together, we can solve problems. And I think that's the kind of leadership we need now more than ever. And I think 2018 is a real opportunity to show the world who we are in Michigan, the kind of leaders that we need who are looking out for, fighting for our aspirations instead of minimizing our expectations.
So how do we get better paying jobs, and how do we get the literacy rate and all our other indicators of a great education up?
Well, I think it's about priorities. You know, I served in the legislature for 14 years. I was on the front line on a lot of tough debates. But I saw governors on both sides of the aisle cut money out of our education budget to try to balance other parts of the budget. And I know the devastating consequences that that has had on our kids. I know that when we don't invest in our youngest citizens at the beginning of their lives, that we all pay for it down the road, that when we lack early childhood education for every kid in Michigan, no matter what zip code you live in or what school district you're in or what family you're born into, we are missing the most crucial opportunity in someone's life to get them on a path for lifelong health and lifelong wealth. So I think it starts with early childhood education for every kid in this state, but it continues on in wrapping around services, literacy, focused on literacy, solely on literacy, for the first couple years that we have the opportunity to educate a child. And it means that when kids are, they're getting ready to graduate, that they have a path, that they have a path either to an affordable four-year degree or a free community college degree or into a skilled trade, that we are ensuring that everyone who leaves high school has a written plan and that they are on the road to a high-wage job.
Are you saying you want to make a community college degree the minimum and you want to make it something that people do not have to pay out of pocket for?
I'm saying that a free community college degree would give access to so many Michiganders who are unable to afford, you know, to pursue that kind of an education. But it's not for everyone. I recognize four-year degrees are, you know, I went to Michigan State. My parents went here to Western. I think that we've got to make a four-year degree affordable for Michigan students. And there was a point in time where the state picked up 75% of the cost of that education and the student was responsible for the other 25%. And that's exactly reversed right now. And that's why too few Michiganders can pursue a four-year degree, because it just costs too much. They've got complete barriers, or the thought of graduating with so much debt keeps a lot of students from pursuing it in the first place, or keeps many on the other side from buying a home or starting a family. So I recognize how important it is that that path is real in for four-year degrees as well as community college degrees, but also that skilled trades are an area that we need more Michiganders to pursue, where you can make a really good living at, and too few people are going into the trades. And so I think apprenticeships are another part of the equation, that when you graduate from high school, you're on one of those paths.
But do you want to make it basically universal for anyone to be able to get into an apprenticeship program or a community college program and be able to complete those for free?
Absolutely.
How would you pay for that?
Well, I think that budgets are always a statement of your values. They're choices that the legislature and the governor make together. And I saw when the governor came into office, he chose to give a big business tax break, and he paid for it by taxing pensions, by trying to eliminate the earned income tax credit, and by cutting education for our kids. We still haven't recovered from those initial cuts that this governor put in for into our schools. And so I know that first, a budget is a statement of your values. It's not just numbers on a balance sheet. But also, I authored what I called the Michigan 2020 plan when I was the leader of the Senate Democrats. And that was a plan modeled after the Kalamazoo Promise right here that would have made college affordable or college free for every Michigan student. And I paid for it by closing corporate tax loopholes. And so I know that when the business community tells us that we need more four-year degree holders or more people with two-year degrees or more people in the skilled trades, when we recognize what it's meant to our economy to have fewer people that have the skills we need and in this new environment that we're in, it's an investment that we can't afford not to make.
So does that mean that the business community would be happy with some of those loopholes closing, and perhaps businesses would be willing to pay more in taxes in order to have a more skilled workforce?
You know, someone and someone be. But the here's what I know, that when we pull people from the business community to the table, when we talk to students who are making that determination, do I pursue what I want to, even if it means taking on all this debt, or do I not, which is the worst, you know, answer. Bringing in experts and stakeholders from every part of an issue, that's when we have a real debate that yields solutions. I'm ready to work with everyone who wants to solve a problem. I'm tired of politicians who just want to give us false choices and say, if you do this, then you can't do that. You know, that doesn't work anymore. We've got big problems to solve here in Michigan, and they are urgent. Getting more people into the skills that they need in order to pursue the paths that they want to is critical for our economy and for pulling more people into our state.
Ballot proposals. There's a number of them which look like they have a decent shot at getting before voters next year. Let me ask you your position on them, repealing the prevailing wage.
I will vote no on that one. Prevailing wage is one of those protections for people who work hard to ensure that they can make enough money to raise a family on. We've seen other states that have repealed prevailing wage, and Republican leaders in those states who once championing them now say that it was a mistake because it's really hurt their local economies, because it's undercut families' ability to participate in their local economy, and that they wish that they could undo what they have done by eliminating prevailing wage. And I think it would be a big mistake here in Michigan. I've been on the front line fighting for working families for a lot of my time in the legislature, opening up the doors and leading the effort against the attack on collective bargaining from my office inside the Capitol. And I know that we don't move our economy ahead unless we move our family economies ahead along with it.
Legalizing marijuana.
I, you know, as a former prosecutor, so I served as the prosecutor in Ingham County, and I know that our law enforcement has got enormous jobs to do. And with the opioid crisis that is facing our state, we've got to devote resources to helping address that issue and not on people who are carrying small amounts of marijuana on them. I'm going to be a yes vote because I think it's important that we get in on the front end of this and we do it right. We have regulation, we've got taxation. I know that states that have embraced this have had such a huge boon to their economies to the tune of billions of dollars, hundreds of millions into schools, into roads, into police and fire protection, all areas in the Michigan budget that we desperately need to, you know, invest in. And so I think that this is an opportunity for us to move forward and to do it right, where other states, I think, made mistakes along the way. We can learn how to do it by promulgating clear rules for businesses and for people that are going to use, so that we know what the rules are and we do it right, unlike some of the other states who've already embraced it.
Part-time legislature.
I will be a no vote. You know, as someone who served in the Michigan legislature, I know that one of the things that we are suffering from here in Michigan is the fact that legislators don't develop expertise in issues over which they exacted an enormous amount of authority, setting our state budget, $50 billion budget every single year, that oversees our kids' schools, the safety of our communities, the roads, that when people are in and out of there, they don't get the opportunity to understand the magnitude of their votes and the issues on which they're dealing. Governor Milliken said once, there's no other walk of life where you would demand less experience as a prerequisite for getting the job. You would never walk into a doctor's office and say, I want the newest doctor out of medical school. I want to be the first patient, because we acknowledge that that's important. I think part-time legislature makes a system that doesn't work very well right now less effective. And I worry that when there are such deep pockets determining elections today already, that when you have a part-time legislature, it just empowers families that currently set the agenda for all of us to do it even more so. And I'm thinking about campaign finance laws and all the work that we need to do on that front. That would be a better thing for us to tackle in Michigan than making the legislature part-time.
All right. I want to come back to campaign finance in a moment. But before that, let me get your thoughts on Voters Not Politicians, the redistricting reform proposal.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, as the Senate Democratic leader, my last 4 years in the legislature, when I took my oath of office, I looked around the Senate and realized that I was that there were more men named John than women in the Senate. And the other thing that was really striking was that despite the fact that Democrats earned almost half the votes in that election, when you total them all up statewide, I was the leader of 12 out of 38, meaning that the Republicans, even though they'd gotten just over half the votes in our state, had a 26-person supermajority in our state Senate. And when that happens, it means that the agenda that is set does not reflect the will of the people. It means that our votes are not counted equally because of gerrymandering. I know how broken the system is, and I embrace any effort to take redistricting away from the legislature and give it to a nonpartisan or even a bipartisan commission to draw the lines. I think that that ensures that we get a legislature that really does reflect the citizenry, and I think we would all be better off for it.
So campaign finance, this election is looking like it's going to be one of the most expensive in the history of Michigan. Michigan Campaign Finance Network Director Craig Mauger says he's not ready to say the most expensive, but he says it could certainly get there. Is that, at the end of the day, regardless of who wins, it says something about our process and perhaps, you know, it means that it's not the way we should be doing business in the state? And how do we fix it if we do want less money in it?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen the rules change many times in the last 10 years, and the legislature has been completely Republican controlled for most of it. They have written the rules so that they've doubled the amount that an individual can, you know, contribute. They have created these dark money accounts that are unlimited. They sail right through the legislature, and that's some of the legislation that the governor's quickest to sign. I think that there's a very obvious political reason for this, and it's because that the Republicans are the beneficiaries of deep-pocketed donors. When I was the leader of the Senate Democrats, I did an event where I was speaking on a panel with my counterpart from the Republican side of the aisle, and I was talking about how, as the leader, I had, you know, we'd had a good quarter. It was contributions from within the state's borders, and they were small contributions, and I was very proud of that. But I looked at the finance filing for my colleague on the other side of the aisle. He funded his whole quarter with contributions from one family, the DeVos family. And when one family is funding the majority, they're setting the agenda for all of us, one family. And I tell you that story because I had observed, I said, you made a phone call and eight people from one family made contributions that funded your quarter. And he corrected me. He said, actually, it was nine people from the DeVos family. And you're laughing. He thought it was funny. But I, you know, and it is if it isn't so scary on top of it, because we all need a legislature that's looking out for us. I started our conversation by saying it's been a long time since we've had someone in our corner. I believe that. We need leaders who are looking out for the people of this state, who are go to bed every single night thinking about our kids in our public schools and wake up every morning thinking about that family that's worrying about paying their rent or their heating bill. And until we change our campaign finance system, I think that it's going to be very hard to ensure that the people in the legislature really are reflective of the population that we have here in Michigan and working to solve the problems that we're confronting. So I think, you know, I have in my campaign, we've broken some records when it comes to building this, but I'm most proud that the vast majority, like 86% of the contributions that we've gotten are Michiganders, and they're small contributions. And I think that's really important. It's important to me personally, but I think it's an important statement about what this campaign is really about. It's about Michiganders.
Gretchen Whitmer, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Gretchen Whitmer is a Democratic candidate for governor of Michigan.